Listening Library presents Trapped in the Horror Dome, Monsterious Book 5, by Matt McMahon. Read for you by Cassandra Morris. Chapter 1. The monster's claws scraped the concrete floor in the dim light. Her thick tail slid listlessly back and forth as her forked tongue flicked out, tasting the air. The monster gripped the top of the doorframe with a huge hand. One tentacle slapped against a small window in the cell door, suckers fastening instantly. She peered through the glass with large yellow eyes and released a low hiss. Shifting restlessly, the monster stretched out with all her senses. Had the event happened? She grew tired of waiting. Chapter 2. Rowan leaned forward eagerly as she caught her first glimpse of Earth 2 through the shuttle bus window. The Biosphere Research Facility rose out of the desert landscape like a set from a science fiction movie. Its geodesic domes and giant glass and steel step pyramid gleaming in the morning light. The white panels and crisp lines of the buildings stood out sharply against a backdrop of rugged mountains with mottled brown slopes. In the seat beside her, Rowan's best friend Tinker, nicknamed for her love of rebuilding mechanical things, gave a squeal of delight. "This is gonna be awesome!" A scoff sounded behind them.
"Careful, Tinker. You'll wet yourself."
Rowan turned to glare at Amari, a short boy with copper skin and rumpled black hair.
"Keep your opinions to yourself, thief."
"Yeah," Tinker said, dramatically sweeping her curtain of beaded braids.
"We're not the ones who cheated our way onto this trip."
Amari glowered at them both, but said nothing. Rowan's full ivory cheeks were flushed as she settled back in her seat and took a calming breath. She'd worked hard for this 5-day trip to Earth 2, and she wasn't going to let anything ruin it, not even Amari. The shuttle bus pulled up to the facility, and the 9 students piled out, followed by Ms. Jenkins, the teacher chaperone from a different school than Rowan's. A 20-something woman with olive skin bounded up to them with a grin. Her short plaid skirt and striped stockings clashed wildly with her blue Earth 2 shirt and neon pink hair.
"Welcome to Earth 2. I'm Chloe, the community coordinator for the facility. I'll be your guide to the Mars experience, but you can think of me as your super cool big sister."
She puckered her lips and tilted her head as she flashed a sidewise peace sign. Rowan and Tinker barely managed to hide their snorts of laughter, while Amari stared at the young woman with raised eyebrows. Chloe didn't seem to notice.
"Each of you earned this trip by scoring the highest on your projects in Arizona's statewide 7th grade science competition, sponsored by Earth 2. You helped your 3 schools win the gold, silver, and bronze medals. Congrats! Yay, science!"
A red-haired boy from another school snickered, and Ms. Jenkins shushed him. Rowan wondered if Chloe's enthusiasm dials were always set on 11.
Chloe plowed ahead.
"Earth 2 is the largest enclosed biosphere facility in the world, second in size only to Mama Earth herself. It was originally built as a self-supporting test habitat to see if humans could live on Mars. That's what we're going to simulate for our adventure, living on Mars. And bonus, no space travel."
Since Rowan wanted to be an astronaut, she didn't see this as a positive.
"Super sad. There's no texting or social media on Mars,"
Chloe said with an exaggerated frown.
"Cell phones can interfere with some of our sensitive equipment. It's hard to get a signal in the facility anyway. Put your phones in this box, and you'll get them back when you leave."
After they'd surrendered their phones, Chloe grinned.
"Now, grab your bags and let's go to Mars!"
Everyone followed her through a thick metal door with a heavy locking bar that looked like it belonged on a submarine. They crammed into a small empty room with a similar door on the far wall.
"Say goodbye to Earth, everyone,"
Chloe said before sealing the outer door shut.
"Normally, we're connected to the outside air through a series of vents, but we can also operate in isolation mode, like during the Mars experience.
That means we're completely sealed off from the outside environment and use our own air circulation system, just like we were on another planet." She pushed a button on the wall, and there was a whoosh of air. When a light beside the inner door changed from red to green, Chloe opened the door with a flourish.
"Welcome to Mars!"
Her heart pounding with excitement, Rowan stepped through the hatch and into another world. Chapter 3. Rowan stood in a wide open space with a 30-foot ceiling. Across from her was a glass wall looking into an oversized living room and kitchen. To her left lay the biggest garden she'd ever seen, while on her right, the gleaming tile floor ended and a grassland began, dotted with boulders and large bushes. The ceiling over the grassland soared 90 feet into the air, revealing the underside of the step pyramid she'd seen earlier. Bird calls mingled with the distant sound of rolling waves, and she could smell sea air.
"This is the atrium," Chloe announced. "From here, you can see the living quarters of our scientists, as well as our agricultural area and our grasslands biome. Does anyone know what the word biome means?"
"An area of plants and animals adapted to a specific climate," Amari said.
Chloe clapped.
"Looks like we found our star student. And no surprise, you're Amari, right? As the overall winner of this year's competition, your project is on display right here in our atrium."
She pointed to a table with a miniature train set and race car track, along with Amari's picture. Both the train and the cars were floating above their tracks, as if by magic.
"Would you like to explain the focus of your project?"
Rowan seethed as Amari puffed out his chest.
"It shows how the magnetic levitation technology, called maglev, used in high-speed trains, could be applied to cars and highways. It would make a huge reduction in carbon emissions and basically save the planet."
"Very clever," Chloe said. "That's the kind of climate research we do in the biomes. Earth, too, has 6 of them. Grassland, fog desert, rainforest, swamp, Arctic tundra, and even our own ocean."
"I read about the miniature ocean," Tinker whispered to Rowan, her dark brown skin glowing with excitement. "It has a real coral reef and a wave maker." Chloe continued.
"Having all these biomes in one facility allows scientists to conduct environmental research they couldn't do anywhere else. They study the impact of climate change, looking for ways to minimize negative effects on the planet."
She grinned.
"On planet Earth, I mean, not here on Mars. And you are going to help. You're officially Earth 2 junior scientists, and you'll be assisting on real experiments."
After they dropped their bags in a nearby conference room, Chloe gave them a tour. Each biome had its own unique plants, animals, topography, sounds, and smells. The dry, cactus-filled fog desert lay at one end of the facility, while the humid rainforest, crammed with towering trees and lush vegetation, was at the other. In between them sat the wild grassland, brooding swamp, and miniature ocean. Across the atrium was the huge agriculture area and rolling Arctic tundra biome. Birdsong and the screech of monkeys filled the air. Rowan's head spun with sensory overload.
"One of the most amazing features of Earth 2 is the structure itself," Chloe said as they returned to the atrium. "The exterior walls are made of steel beams and shatterproof glass to keep it from breaking during air pressure changes."
Grinning, Tinker was
sample complete. Ready to continue?